The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Kevin Starrett joins the show, Oregon Firearms Federation. And I'm sure that with the appointment of Christine Drazen as the new House Republican leader, Second Amendment issues are no longer a problem in the state of Oregon. Welcome back, Kevin. It's always good to have you on.
Thank you, Bill.
Your latest, out with the old, in with the old. So much for fresh, shiny faces over there in the Republican caucus this morning. Wanted to kind of get your take overall on where we are headed. Because now, first question I have for you is, how badly was the 22nd House district in the state of Oregon stolen? That we had like 104 votes that just magically seemed to dribble in order to get the Republican out and make sure that there was a Democrat going into that. Is it just me? Or am I being unduly suspicious?
The Democrats needed one seat to be able to jack up your taxes unfettered. They looked around. They said, here's a district with a lot of people who could possibly be not residents, not citizens.
Otherwise known as illegal aliens, but I know they would never say such a crass statement. They wouldn't use that term. You know.
They told us that they register illegals. They didn't tell us how many. Mm-hmm. You know, they're obviously lying about that. There's probably been few more brazen election thefts in the history of the country. And it's astonishing, as I'm sure you've noticed, how when last minute votes come in, they always go to Democrats. We saw this in the election when Kitsapa was running against Chris.
Former Trailblazer guy. Yeah, right.
Yeah, the former. So he's ahead, and then boom! All of a sudden, these Multnomah County votes come in, and the votes switch. And so, you know, here's the thing: the Republicans are all upset about this. They're hiring lawyers. They're going to chase ballots. They're going to do all that stuff. Good for them. You know, I hope they're successful. But this one's fairly obvious. And if they sit still for it, you know, I mean, they're going to sit still for it. I mean, they're not going to take any dramatic effort. If their legal efforts fail, all they're going to do.
What are our Republicans in the state legislature afraid of being called? Election denier?
No, they're going to be afraid of being called racist.
Okay.
That's what this is going to be. I mean,
so racism is more powerful in the state of Oregon as an attack tool than election denier. Got it?
Yeah. Well, anybody who questions this election will be a racist because the person who's been installed in the seat is Hispanic and a union organizer, and obviously this will just be an attack on you know, the Latino community, the Latinx community. And the Republicans will, you know, they'll do what they can and probably hire expensive lawyers and then probably lose. And then that'll be the end of that. And you will watch your taxes skyrocket.
Well, you know, I don't know about that because Christine Drazen is a fighter. She really is. I remember her from her gubernatorial race. She's a fighter, man, to the mat. So I think you're selling her short, even though she is.
You know, it's interesting in her press release about. Yeah, and we're stunned. You know, I mean, I think you and I are both stunned that Drazen got this position. Who would have thought, you know? Mm-hmm. But in the press release, she both says, you know, that we're looking forward to working in a bipartisan fashion.
She didn't say that, did she?
We're going to stand up to everything the Democrats do, but in a very bipartisan way.
That's like pre-sending the white flag, I surrender thing. If you're going to work in a, you can't oppose and then work in a bipartisan fashion. It doesn't work that way. You either oppose or you don't. That's it.
Well, look, Bill, her hallmark has been capitulation. I mean, people forget this, but when she was in office as a House rep, she voted for virtually everything the Democrats came up with. I mean, she voted against oil exploration. She voted against the cops time and time again. She voted to changed the Oregon State song because it included the words free men.
Yeah.
She voted to ban ropes with loops at the end of them. She is the consummate collaborator. And that's why I'm sure Julie Fahey, the new speaker, is so excited and congratulated her and welcomed her back, because this guarantees, I mean, this was an open admission of unconditional surrender on the part of the Republicans. And there was no question, I believe we've discussed this throughout this entire campaign, that it was going to take nanoseconds for her to be back in leadership, in spite of the fact that when she was running, she said, oh, you know, I'm not interested in the leadership position. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Well, she crossed that bridge pretty quickly from the sounds of it.
She crossed the bridge pretty quickly. But listen, let's face it. The woman is a confirmed, absolute liar, all right? Just before she announced that she was going to steal the seat back from James Heeb, who in no way can compete with her lobby money, she told the Clackamas County Republican leader that she was out of politics. She was taking a break, and it was like moments later.
Boy, that was a quick break. It was kind of like crossing that bridge, too. Boy.
Yeah, she's fast. She's really fast.
All right.
You know, the thing is that obviously she didn't want the position to change, to have a positive effect on legislation, because she has no interest in having a positive effect on legislation. What she has an interest in is consolidating the appearance of power and having the ability to control the PAC money. And I'll tell you, you know, the money that moves through politics in this state, for the most part, except for, you know, the drug money, can be tracked on OrStar, and it's available to anybody. It's no secret. When you look at the money that was spent by Republican donations, the enormous amount of money, obscene amounts of money.
And this was money going against Noah Robinson, for example, right?
Money going against Noah Robinson, money going for candidates. The consultants really, really cleaned up. The money's massive. And in most cases, they lost. Okay, so like when the Iverson spent all that money on Christine Goodwin's behalf to attack Noah Robinson in the most disgraceful, deceitful way, that was Republican money that was being spent. But the Iversons, they cashed in anyway. You know,
that's just it. The Iversons and the others that are controlling the PAC money in the state of Oregon, they're making money win or lose. As long as the money's coming in, they take a cut of it, right? You know, with advertising.
It's not just controlling the PAC money. It's receiving the PAC money. Because, you know, look, the Iversons have businesses doing campaign consulting. Her husband, Vicki Iverson's husband, Brian Iverson, was half of that fraudulent Oregon gun rights group that pretended to be an organization whose only contribution was from themselves to themselves. But they made massive amounts of money attacking Noah Robinson, and they lost.
And by the way, speaking of that Oregon gun rights, that was started by Reagan Canope, who went to work as chief of staff for Icky Vicky, right?
Is now chief of staff for Vicki Iverson, right. Yeah. Who will make, you know, he'll make quite good money there, too. But, you know, he's part of that little cabal. He's been their cabana boy for a long time.
Now, understand, though, and I know that, you know, here it is. I'm a Republican. I don't know if you're a Republican or not. All right. The reason we bring this up, though, as we continue to fight for it, is just for people to understand how compromised the caucus leaders are in the state of Oregon. And you have these good Republican voters out there, good Republican listeners that are, you know, trying to do the best they can when you already have leadership in the party that have pre-surrendered. They have already surrendered. They've already given their terms of surrender and are there to make the grift at this point in time. And that's a sad statement, but people have to understand what's really going on here. And I don't know if everyone does. It's not because I dislike Republicans. I want good Republicans in there. Right? And that's what I thought we were hoping for. I actually wanted an opposition party in power, an opposition party, a true opposition party. These people are not, unfortunately.
You've got small donors who are making, you know, $25, $50, $100 checks out in good faith with the expectation that the money's going to be used to elect people who will protect their rights. When you look at the amount of money that the consultants are getting to lose elections, I mean, Look at Noble Consulting, for example. This is the political consulting firm run by failed governor candidate Stan Pulliam and his wife. You remember them from?
Oh, yeah, I remember Stan. Didn't Stan have some sketchiness going in there near the end? I'm trying to remember. It's a while ago.
Swingin' Stan, right?
Swingin' Stan. That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay.
Now, you know, look, you know, you do you, Stan, but like you probably shouldn't do it on Facebook if you're the mayor of Sandy, right?
You know
what I'm saying? But he made enormous amounts of money. The Iversons make enormous amount of money. And all these consultants make – look, Bill, I could lose elections for a lot less money than these people. But not only do you have the small donors – throwing away, losing their money in good faith, but you've got people who are putting out some big donations too. So there are, you go, if anyone has access to go look around Orstar, look at the money that's come in, and then the money that goes back and forth. So every House rep, every senator, their PACs are always giving money to each other in this very, very complicated nexus of exchanges that it's hard to determine what the point is. You know, like, Kevin Mannix gives $1,000 to Tracy Kramer. Tracy Kramer gives $1,000 to Christine Dreza. And how it all benefits anyone is a mystery to me. But this money is being completely squandered because people are getting rich off of it. And no, look at the way – talk about compromised, right? Who is the deputy Senate minority leader?
I don't know.
Brock Smith. David Brock Smith.
Oh, right? David Brock Smith. Okay. All right.
Okay. So David Brock Smith – votes on bills that distribute money. David Brock Smith voted for a bill to give, I don't remember the figure, but quite a large amount of money to a nonprofit in Southern Oregon, which happens to pay him $25,000 to $40,000 a year to sit on their board.
Now that would always strike me as a bit of a that would strike me if it is as you claim there, Kevin, that this could be a conflict of interest. Did he recuse himself from that vote, or did he not?
No, you can't recuse yourself from a vote in Oregon. You declare a conflict of interest. So he declared a conflict of interest.
Oh, okay.
You know, he said, hey, I sit on that board. But he didn't mention that the board pays him a lot of money. And it's not my opinion. We have the 990s from these organizations. This is no secret. You know, it's just like it's no secret that the Democrats paid off the Republicans a couple of years ago, giving the House reps $2 million and the senators $4 million to buy their acquiescence and to go along with the program. And so Oregon continues to sink into the abyss because the Republicans are controlled by people whose only goal is to feather their own nests.
And I think it's because they don't believe that there's any way to assert any real political power. So if we're going to be here, we're just going to make some money. Is that it, in your opinion? I mean, what?
It's not. I don't think it's my opinion. For some of them, that's all it is. That's absolutely all it is. It's the ability to generate funds for themselves or in some way benefit from it. And then I'm sure there are some that are just don't get it, that are just kind of going along, think they're doing the right thing, and are cowed or intimidated by the people who actually run stuff. So like the Iversons who, you know, the Iversons will – a good candidate will come along and the Iversons will be afraid that they're too independent. And so they'll run someone against them. That's what they did. That's how they got Charlie Conrad in there, you know? So I think there have to be some number of them that sincerely want to do the right thing, mm-hmm. but won't, you know, I mean, what is the right thing? What is the right thing to do at this point? Okay. Nationally, we just saw a sea change in politics. Now,
there is no sea change in politics in Oregon, unfortunately, though.
No, things actually got worse. So things got worse in Oregon. So we're now looking at a situation where things are going to be so bad because the people in power have basically said, look, our policies are colossal failures. This is not an opinion. You look at the left-wing media in Portland where they will have a story about how, you know, they can't keep up with the illegals that are being shipped, flown into
Portland, yeah.
And then handed tents to live in because Portland's overrun with homeless. The same thing's true in L.A. Okay, so now L.A. is a mess. The rich people are moving out and buying ranches in Montana. But now LA's just decided, oh, we're going to stop Trump. We're going to declare ourselves a sanctuary city, which is a little redundant because California is a sanctuary state.
Well, I would add that you just had Governor Kotek talking about how she is going to be out there resisting Trump and protecting the 120,000 or so of illegal aliens here.
Look at the city of New York, absolute catastrophe. You can't get a hotel room there because what once were expensive hotels are now overrun by illegals who are attacking police and stealing motorcycles and shooting people, robbing people in Central Park. And the governor of New York said, well, we're going to keep doing this. Now, the mayor of New York obviously is losing it because he has to figure out how to pay for this.
Right.
But Kotek, so the state of Oregon is burning down, and Kotek's response to this is, we're going to stockpile abortion pills.
Oh, yeah, Mifepristone. Yeah, that's the big one. I think they'll probably have Mifepristone. What is that? I can never pronounce that right. They'll probably have the abortion dispenser pills right next to the tampons in the boys' room, okay? Isn't that where they're going to do it?
The thing is, okay, abortion Oregon wants to make itself the abortion destination capital of the country, mm-hmm. which you would think – at least they should make some money off of this, right? But no, we pay people to come to Oregon
to do
to
it.
Their children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put them up in a hotel room.
So I guess at this point, and this is where I'm going to take it back here, you want people to understand that they have a supermajority at this point, assuming that that's stolen, in my opinion, 22nd district election, House District 22nd election. Stands at this point where all of a sudden a miraculous 150 votes dribble in and they're all Democrats, that kind of thing to get rid of the one Republican that kept the Democrats from having a supermajority. At this point, they can raise taxes. If it stands, they can raise taxes without even asking us, right? They can just do, what they want.
Yeah.
They can pass gun bills if they want. It doesn't matter at this point, right?
Well, they could always pass gun bills. They just needed the supermajority to pass taxes.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they have passed gun bills, because the Republicans refused to do anything about it. And now the attitude in the House Republican caucus, at least, is, hey, there's nothing we can do. We can't walk out that suicide, as though staying there was going to have some positive effect. Like, okay, so
people who will not walk out then are essentially saying that the job as a state representative or state senator is more important than actually having any kind of effect.
The job of every elected representative is to get reelected, period. Uh-huh. And while at the same time complaining about their paychecks, which are actually not bad, by national standards, think of all the other perks that are involved in this. If you ran a small business like an insurance company or something like that, where you had an office with one or two employees and you had what every office has, furniture, insurance, computers, internet access.
And don't forget PERS. And don't forget
right.
PERS.
Well, okay, that's a whole other debacle. But all of those expenses, and then you say, well, I think what the legislators are making $36,000 or something a year, which doesn't include all the other payments they get, the per diems and all that, all the other.
But usually, though, the way you make money as the House rep or as the state senator, especially, I think, is though you have to have a spouse or a relative, spouse as a chief of staff. That's where the money comes from, right?
Well, the staffers make a lot of money.
Yeah.
They do quite well, actually, and all of this is available. Their salary is all available. What I'm saying is that if you had a business that had comparable staff and office space to a legislator, and you had to pay for all of those, all that overhead, at the end of the year, you probably wouldn't be making much more than a legislator makes who has to pay for none of that. So they complain about their salaries, but there's no expenses for them.
Got it. All right. Now, let me take it back, though, to our way of responding to this, because there's going to be a session, the long session next year. It's going to be a brutal one, right? And is there any reason whatsoever next year that Republicans should be giving bipartisan votes to Democrats in the next session? Is there any practical reason for it?
From their standpoint, let's take Greg Smith, for example, the longest serving House rep from Eastern Oregon,
okay,
who has the most questionable, everything. There's so much information about this guy cashing in, being on all these boards that pay him, that he picks his own pay scale. Mm-hmm. over and over, there's nothing but a series of questions about his business dealings and how he weasels into everything. It is really bizarre. So for him, it's perfect. And when you watch his behavior on the House floor, he's always on the right committees that direct money into things that he controls and he pockets. He's an obsequious, pandering sycophant. It's awful to watch him. But from his standpoint, you know, he's also the legislator least likely to show up for work because he's got all these other gigs going on that pay him a lot more money. But being in the legislature helps him to direct these funds. And so he will always do whatever the Democrats ask of him to maintain the seats he needs to keep up this little game he's playing. So for other people who have really accomplished very little in their lives except to get elected to office, well, you know, now, hey, look at me. I got a cool office. I got a staff. I got people, lobbyists coming and kissing my ring. I get to control other people's money and feel powerful. I have no responsibility. Like, I'll say, let's ban diesel trucks. All right. So half the state is now incapable of functioning. But what do I care? Because I live in Portland and I drive an electric car and I can do what I want because I am God. And there's nothing to stop me. And the Republicans are looking at this. They're all dejected. There's nothing we can do. You know, we got to play the game.
I would say exactly opposite. This is the time that you don't play the game. You don't play the game.
Well, this is what rational people would do.
Okay.
But Pete, what happens, it's a weird thing that happens to people when they get there. Even people who start off probably with good intentions very quickly learn that if you have good intent, look what they did to James Hebe, okay? Now, here's a guy, okay, granted, not the most articulate guy in the world, terrible public speaker, all that.
Yeah.
Definitely had some votes that I think were bad votes that he himself will admit were mistakes because from the minute he got there, they did nothing but try to undermine him. The Republicans did everything they could to undermine him because he was never going to be in their club. So here's a guy who's but really trying to do the right thing and somebody who – you could sit down and talk to and say, hey, you know, here's something you should know, who would actually listen to. They did horrible things to him. They made absolutely – so here the Republican House caucus is all about protecting their incumbents, right? Well, he was their incumbent. Then Drazen comes along and runs on a campaign of we, meaning Republicans, have to take our seat back. From another Republican.
Another Republican. Yeah, I never quite grasped that, but I guess really it's the difference between a voter-elect Republican and a caucus-desired Republican. And Christine Drazen is the caucus-desired Republican, unlike James Hebe. Hence, the support had to go there. And we had to believe the lie that somehow that we were taking back a Republican seat. I guess unless the only Republicans left in control of the Republican Party in the state of Oregon are caucus Republicans. And that's why they look at them as take our seat back. It's kind of like, you know, our democracy, you know, the way the Democrats talk about our democracy means their democracy.
I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable thing to watch what they did. And then, you know, the Clackamas County Republican Party actually held a vote to endorse James Hebe. And a lot of people were there. I mean, the chair of the party, the vice chair of the party, they knew that Drazen had flat out lied to them and they wanted to, but they required a vote. And a lot of people who might have voted on the side of James just weren't there. And all of a sudden, the room is filled with people who never show up at a meeting. Drazen's husband was there. Bill Kenimer was there. Mm-hmm. And they lose that by one vote. And so, and of course, you know, that seat was unopposed. Drazen ran unopposed. So when you get somebody who is not in control of the caucus machine, they do everything they can to crush them. And this is kind of get back to what I was saying, is what happens is no matter how ethical you are when you get there, you quickly learn that you will be isolated and ostracized if you don't play the game. This is the same thing that goes on in the U.S. Congress.
I would imagine the same thing will then. We can then watch what's going to happen to, let's say, a Diane Linthicum, as an example, coming in to take the place of Senator Dennis Linthicum. So when she becomes a senator, when we have Dwayne Younger. No, going in.
Dwayne Younger, Noah Robinson.
Okay, these three Are those about the only three? Are there anybody? Are there anybody else that won't be part of the blob? What do you think?
It remains to be seen. I mean, Noah Robinson knows the game because he's been there. Okay,
yeah.
Not as an elected person, but as a staff person. Diane knows the game, so they know what to expect. Dwayne Yunker is pretty fearless. They can't hurt him. He doesn't care. He really doesn't care. It's still going to be kind of lonely. So that leaves who? Alex Garlatos, who at this point is a bit unknown.
Yeah. I mean, really I like Alec, but, you know, I've heard him squeak at times at campaign events that makes me question some of the conservative bona fides, but that's just me.
Well, and it's a very natural inclination to want to get along with your coworkers.
You know?
But here's the thing. When you look at what's happening in Oregon, you know, particularly the big cities, the rural people are really suffering, and it's going to get much worse for them. But in big blue cities around the country, they are collapsing. And the people who live there who are stuck in those places are really in danger. The skyrocketing crime that the FBI is lying about. Everybody's being taxed to death to pay to support criminals who come here. And yet the policies that have been implemented to create this mess are being doubled down on.
They're doubling down on failure. And so if we were going to advise any Republican legislators within the sound of our voice, who may have already turned the radio off because they don't like the truth being talked about, but if they were, it would be if there was ever a time for you to vote no on Democratic legislation and let them own their garbage, which they're doubling down on right now, this upcoming session would seem to be the time, wouldn't you say, Kevin? Honestly?
Well, look, voting no, as even Goodwin admitted, voting no is immaterial. The stuff's going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
From my perspective, people who are running the show in blue places are dangerous lunatics, all right? These are people who will gladly have you killed. And I mean killed, put in the ground dead by illegals that they protect, tax you to death so you cannot afford your home, jack up your utility rates, tell you you can't drive your car. This is not a political, an ideology, a battle of political ideologies. These are crazy, dangerous people who are attempting to destroy the society they live in. There is no other explanation for it. At which point, I believe you go into a situation where all of a sudden there's six people who just stepped out of an asylum and they're armed with bats. You do not reason with these people, okay? They want to kill you. Now is the time to disrupt things. It ain't going to happen, Bill. It is not going to happen. But there's nothing to lose except an office in Salem. And for many people, that's the coolest thing they've ever had. And what happens to the taxpayers and the farmers and the ranchers and the fishermen and the poor people who live in cities who are now subjected to increased crime, taxes they can't afford, they're collateral damage. Screw them.
So the bottom line here, we will repeat, if you're a Republican, you don't have power there. The only thing you can do is disrupt. If you're not disrupting, you're helping the Democrats. The Democrats are doubling down on crazy. Be aware. You know, that's all we can say. That's all we can do. Okay?
Tina Kotek already sold her house in Portland. Where do you think she's going to be when her second term is over? You know, she ain't going to be in Oregon. You know, it isn't going to happen. And so they're already making plans to get out and find a safer, cheaper place to live. And what they leave behind in terms of damaged taxpayers is of no interest to them. There is simply no reason for any Republican to sit in a committee hearing and not just be as disruptive, walk out, actually ask tough questions, which they won't do. And what are they going to do? Oh, they're going to censure them. They're going to tell them they're out of order. Fine. Walk the hell out. You have zero to lose except your parking space.
There you go. Kevin Starrett, Oregon Firearms Federation. And thank you for keeping us up on this. And like I said, I wasn't surprised at all about the Drazen situation. But, you know, really, with this upcoming session, it's going to be the big one. And watch these people's voting records. If they're voting for the Democratic stuff, they are part of the problem. That's where we find ourselves right now. Okay. Kevin, thank you as always. Okay. Be well.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah. And this is under that, that whole thing about everyone's been focused on Trump, 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 Trump. And hey, that's great. But we are the people that have to work to save the state because Trump's not going to.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
$29 a month during the holiday trade-up at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
We'll catch up on some news here in just a moment and some national news. We don't have the sentencing yet, but illegal alien Jose Ibarra found guilty in the murder of nursing student Lake and Rally. So that's all over at this point. Just a matter for the sentencing. Hopefully the sentencing is not, free room and board and, an Obama phone or something like that. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, the way things have been going at the border for quite some time. We have to have criminal equity. You have to have enough equity spread around. But we're going to have some open phone time here. Anything else on your mind in the final 15 minutes or so? And I'm happy to get you on 770-5633. After news, we will get to that. And you're on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, we provide well water services to you.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Semper Fi, Steve the Marine. What's on your mind this morning,
Semper
huh?
Hi.
How are you?
Okay. What I wanted to mention was that several years ago, we were talking a lot about states' rights and nullification, and the liberals asserted that we were racist and it was unconstitutional and all of that sort of thing. Now they are pushing states' rights and nullification with their sanctuary city and sanctuary state laws.
Hmm. Now, when it comes right down to it, how do you believe President Trump will most likely go to battle against states like Oregon, which are sanctuary states, and you have Governor Kotek saying we will protect these 120,000 illegal aliens currently residing here? How do you think?
Well, first of all, he may ask Congress to withhold funding for various things such as highways and education and that sort of thing. That's how I think they'll do it. That first one is to withhold funding.
Uh-huh. Is that perfectly legal to do something like that, request that?
Well, here's the whole thing on funding. I would rather that the money never went to Washington in the first place. But since it is, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
All right.
They've tried to pull highway funds with respect to drunk driving laws and seatbelt laws.
That's true.
Now we can use that against them.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Okay.
Money going there in the
let me ask
place.
You this then. If they want states' rights, I'm happy to give them to them good and hard, okay? How about we decide that we want to be a state here in Southern Oregon and we secede? Because the only thing that the Civil War settled is that they'll just try to kill you if you leave. But, you know, we'd like to be our own state. What do you think?
That's right. That's right. I'd like to. It's also, when we were talking about seceding, you mentioned that people need to start giving money towards that type of thing. Or if they're going to talk about it, they better, walk the walk, spend their money, too. And that gets to be a rub right there. But secession and greater Idaho and that sort of thing would be quite helpful.
Yeah, it would be indeed. Steve the Marine, thank you very much for the call. Always a delight having you on here. And let me go next. Lucretia, Take It Away. Having to do with what, the 1984 and what was the Brave New World? The Huxley Orwell kind of vision. Go ahead.
Right, something Paul and Francine talked about. Right now there's an incredible documentary that Stu Peters is putting out. And he also talked with Mike Adams. And also Mike was talking, as well as Stu, with Candace
Owen.
And she's written quite a piece in Rumble, The Jewish Created Schofield Bible by Candace Owen. And it's basically, it's a Zionist interpretation of Bible scripture, but noted in modern English.
Yeah, by the way, I have a, I actually went and got a copy of a book detailing that Schofield Bible thing. A lot of people don't understand this, but a lot of the Zionist interpretation of the of Christianity today came from Schofield's work back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And it's very interesting. You know, one of the best people to go to for information on that as what he considers a deception is Pastor Chuck Baldwin. Remember Pastor Chuck Baldwin ran in the Constitution Party a number of years ago for president? And Pastor Chuck Baldwin, ChuckBaldwinLive.com has a whole lot on that. He's written quite frequently on it. Anything else you wanted to add to it briefly?
Well, yeah, I do, just because, we've got the Israelis bombing the U.S. Liberty with everything from napalm to just, you know.
You're not supposed to talk about that on American media. Didn't you get the note?
No. What's frustrating is you have the Albert Pike, who's Jewish but raised by a Jesuit, letter to Mazzini, and basically he also says exactly why they'd create World War One, too, so they could create World War Three, and the Jesuits could get back all that land that the Muslims sold.
Well, that's an interesting theory there. It's not Conspiracy Theory Thursday yet, but I'll let it fly this time, Lucretia. Thanks for the call. It duly noted. 770-5633. Let me go to line three. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning. My name's Richard.
Richard, take it away. What's on your mind?
So I have a two-part question. Number one.
Oh, no, I hate two-part questions. I'm being tested.
It's simple.
Okay.
It's simple.
All right.
You know where, like, traffic citations and that type of thing goes to the state of Oregon?
Where they go, those are considered usually infractions that go into justice court. They don't usually go into constitutional Article 3 courts unless you appeal it higher and higher up. Why are you asking? What's going on?
Well, I'm talking about, like, the speeding ticket.
Uh-huh.
For the life of me, I do not understand why the viaduct in going through Medford, where it's 55, is not patrolled. I drive a lot for my job, and I cannot tell you how many close calls I've had. And that's 55 miles an hour from the Barnett Road interchange out to where 62's at.
And as anybody who lives around here long enough knows well enough, nobody does 55 on the viaduct, right? Nobody.
No. But that's the law. I mean, why the state police could pay for their new building they just built in Medford in 6 months at 3 hours a day.
I don't know what the revenue split would be on something like that. So who would you appeal to that? That would be under control of Oregon Department of Transportation. As far as the enforcement goes, I don't know if that's a county sheriff sort of situation. But remember, even then, OSP, there aren't a lot of OSP officers down here, just a handful, and they're normally far flung. So you wish that that was patrolled a little bit better and that 55 really was
time.
You do. Okay. Let me think about that. And maybe some people smarter than me about such legal matters. Well, let me know, okay? Stay safe on that. Otherwise, just drive 15 miles per hour through downtown Medford or 20 or whatever. I'm sure they'll take it 15 miles per hour next. Hi, KMED. Who's this? Good morning. Welcome. Hello? Okay, let me try this again. We go to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Todd. Quick comment. One thing Trump could do to ace out illegal aliens is businesses that hire them have to supply a Social Security number. If he says you don't get a tax deduction unless you have a valid Social Security number.
Yeah, using the e-verify system then, right. You're talking about mandating that?
Absolutely.
All right. Will do. Thank you for the call. Let me go to line two. Good morning. Who's this? Hello? Going once, going twice, line
Bill,
three.
Bill, it's Charlie.
Hey, Charlie. How you doing this morning, Charlie?
I'm doing well, thank you. How you doing this morning?
Doing great. What are you thinking?
Well, what I'm thinking is I was just calling in because of what y'all and you and Francine were talking about earlier in Trump's picks, and you were talking about Matt Gaetz, and I'd also like to talk about Mr. Hegseth as well.
Pete. Okay. Go ahead.
And I think Trump, he was thinking 2 years ago who he was going to put on to all these different positions. And it was a plan from the get-go. And Matt Gaetz is the one that's been able to stir it up so much in Congress there that he says, man, that's my winner chicken dinner. And then when you look at Mr. Pete Hegseth, you know, the man's got two bronze stars. The man fought in Iraq in Afghanistan. The man earned what he, received as in medals going into those theaters of war. And I think the man's going to have the right head on his shoulders when he goes in there to stir things up in that Pentagon.
Charlie, I appreciate your opinion. I agree with practically everything you said there. I don't think that he's tossing people out here to lose. I think he really does want them. And I'm hoping that if it takes a recess appointment or some other shenanigan to do it, I hope he's successful in making it happen. Appreciate the call. Be back tomorrow on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Thank you.
With Susan, who had her well drilled by Clouser Drilling. Susan, what made you choose Clouser?
I checked around town, asked friends of mine who they had used, and Clouser came up every time, A number one, from realtors to actual residences.
And what stood out to you?
Everything, frankly. From when they first arrived, locating the water, walking.